Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
So today we're going to talk to you about kitchen essentials, and I know we've been promising this for a while, and I fully blame Archit for how long it took us to do this. While there's so many things that everyone loves about their kitchen and it's like this whole sanctuary and whatnot, we want to spend a little bit of time today focusing on the essentials that can help you build your first kitchen and give you a better understanding of what goes into making these essentials so you can make better choices for yourself. Archit, are you around or am I supposed to do this by myself?
No, I'm here. An essential.
Okay, then. Quick question before we get started. Do you have any facts about essentials or are you going to spare us the horror this time?
No facts. I actually completely forgot about facts.
That's wonderful. Keep drinking whatever it is that you've been drinking and always forget about facts. All right, Archit.
But we have a special guest this time, so that's exciting.
Yeah. At least they didn't like Google things to know about kitchen essentials.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your kitchen essentials, Archit. I mean, for me, mine is a wine opener, like a bottle opener. So that's my submission here today. What about you?
So I think, like, for me, kitchen essentials are just like things that I can't live without. And okay, I'm just like describing the word essentials, but the first one is really the like a saucepan, a medium sized saucepan, which is about 1.5 liters to 2 liters. Those are ideal. Only because you can do anything with them. Like, you can saute in it, you can fry in it, you can like boil pasta in it, and it'll be good enough for like 2 people.
And if someone attacks you can hit them on the head with it.
Absolutely. So like heavier the better, right? So that's one. The second one is it is going to be like a silicone spatula, and the bake proof silicone spatula is like my favorite, only because it's one, heat proof, two, it's like the easiest thing to clean, and three, it like largely is odor free, so like you can put it in savory and sweet and things like that and doesn't pick up odor, which like wood, huh.
That was actually funny. Good job.
So my third one is and Natasha hates this, is a zester. So I love a zester only because it's like by far the most like finely fine blade to use for like fresh citrus, nutmeg and all of these fun things. Oh. And even like garlic and like cheese and things like that. It's just so beautiful, and I really
it's not
it.
An essential. It's really not an essential to most people, but maybe to you it is. I don't know, like how often in a day do you pick up a zester?
Okay, fine. I agree with you. It's between a zester and a kitchen knife, like a chef's knife, 9-inch. Mm-hmm.
Stole a few of mine. So for me, a good set of knives. Oh my God. And I remember like this one time when my father was like, oh, you know, what do you want? I'll get you something. I was like, actually, can you get me knives? And he was like, what? But he brought them to me and he made sure that they were really cute looking. You know, they were like different colors, like bright colors. So very harmless looking. But my God, the experience of using a good knife on veggies and meat, whatever, is very different from using the traditional knives, kitchen knives that we've seen growing up.
I know. Yeah, those are like, you know, once you move from those, like, you know, those serrated ones that look like a juti, like the front of a juti, like a sickle.
What jutis are you wearing?
I mean, it has like a curve, no? It, like if you like look at
no,
it from
okay,
like
one, I don't know. No. Okay.
So those ones, if you use it, like it actually bends with the fruit as well, like if you cut it.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, so good kitchen knives for sure. And the second thing that I would say is actually an essential for me is a Dutch oven. I'm not joking, I bought my first Dutch oven at the very beginning of the pandemic. I was going through a personally tough time, so So this reaction was completely like not judged by anyone because I legit did a photo shoot with my Dutch oven. I took selfies and I kissed it and I hugged it and I was like, guys, guess who came over? And
but
it was
like,
just
so isn't this the same thing like the microplane?
No, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because my Dutch oven doesn't just zest, okay? I can boil water in it. I can make pasta in it. I can bake bread in it. I can do sauces in it. I can basically do anything in the Dutch oven except like give my cat a bath. And honestly, if I
mean, technically, your cat would fit in it.
Yeah, she's so sweet. She's so small. But she would kill me, dude. She would legit kill me. But yeah, the second one is a Dutch oven. And the third thing that I would say is honestly, for real, and I'm not joking, and I know I cracked a joke about this in the beginning and it was hilarious, but a wine opener, like yeah. A wine bottle opener is very, very sure. important. It's just...
And do you like to go like the analog way with like a corkscrew no. kind of a situation? You have an automated
not,
one?
No. I have a corkscrew one, but not the traditional one, which you have to like, which is just the corkscrew. I have the one which comes with a couple of... It's almost like a Swiss Army knife version of the wine opener. Anyway, those are my essentials. And getting down to like building your first kitchen, if I had to give advice to anyone who's just, you know, like moving out of their parents' home and starting their own thing, I would legit say only get a saucepan or a Dutch oven. And I would lean more towards a Dutch oven, but it's a bit more expensive than a typical saucepan would be. Get something to open bottles with. You're going to need it. And get the right spatula, because what Achit said about the silicone spatulas is so on point. They are heat resistant. They do the job, and also they don't ruin everything. Like many spatulas will just ruin everything outside and inside the kitchen. So those are my top recos for if you're moving out. And if you're shopping, I would say that definitely make sure that you don't do it alone. Take someone with you who has a kitchen that they built or stocked up, or even just like read up, research, compare prices, do whatever it is that you have to do, because a lot of new things have come up in the last 2 years, I want to say, Ajit, since the pandemic started. And right. there is just so many varying levels of quality that it may seem like, oh, this is such a simple thing like a kadhai. But it's not as simple to buy a kadhai now as it was back when our parents perhaps bought them.
Yeah.
So that's something to watch out for. And I let our special guest talk about how to take care of things and stuff like that. But I just feel like life in terms of shopping for kitchen items has become a little more complicated than it used to be. And you got to watch out for that. So don't think it's simple to shop for something that is essential. Haha.
Amazing. I think the only thing that I would add to that is that you, like, understand the materials you're buying. And with that note, I think it's time that we introduce our guest onto the episode. So we're going to go on a break, and then when we come back, we'll have our guest Dhruv on the podcast.
All right, guys, I know we made lots of big promises, and I am here to make sure that we deliver on them. So welcoming Dhruv to our podcast. Dhruv is the founder and managing director of Stahl India, and he's going to answer questions that we have and hopefully tell us a little more about how we can shop for the right stuff, for the right essentials for every kitchen. Hi, Dhruv. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Shirin. Okay. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me today.
We're very excited about asking you all sorts of questions, and thank you for promising us that you won't judge us. We appreciate that.
I hope you guys don't judge me. Huh? I mean, we make the utensils, but you guys are the ones who actually use it. So I hope you don't judge me.
No, not at all.
I mean, I think just to like add context, right? Like I've had a conversation with Dhruv in the past, and it was such an interesting conversation. So I was like, this is definitely someone that we should talk to. So no judgment. Don't worry about that at all.
Thanks so much.
Okay, we're going to start with a wish list, Dhruv. Tell me one thing, please, that you wish that everyone thought about before buying a kitchen essential.
So the one thing that I really wish that everybody thought about would be the fact that cooking is a very, very functional thing. And, you know, cost is equal to not necessarily good products. And that if you actually did invest something, any kitchen tool can last you a lifetime. And I really wish a lot more people thought about kitchenware in that way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's actually very interesting, because when I look back, my parents' collection of kitchenware was pretty steady and stable throughout my childhood. It's like, unless something actually broke, which was rare, or if we broke it, which was not so rare, things wouldn't be replaced very often. But now, I don't know, is it the fast-paced lifestyles? Is it the fact that people are looking for quick fixes, which is completely understandable? I do understand what you're saying about, you know, let's give quality the throne that it deserves. And on that front, I have another question. If there is a young person in their mid-20s who's like, okay, for now, I can afford to get my basics, you know, like medium-range basics, but I want to splurge on that one essential thing that is going to last me a lifetime, perhaps, and it's also going to be multi-purpose, in which I can maybe cook 3-4 different types of things, use it for everything from boiling water to making pasta to whatever. Is there a magic dish like that out there? And if it is, can you tell us a little bit about it? And if it isn't, can you make it?
No, I definitely think there is a magic dish. I would actually put two, but I'll try and keep one. I look at the saucepan. So typically, let's say a 20, 25 year old, 30 year old, a good 1.5 to 2 liter saucepan is probably your most versatile dish, or the most versatile piece of cookware that you can ever own. You can make a dal in it. You can fry an egg in it. If you really need to, if you don't have the luxury, you can make a dry gravy, a dry vegetable or a dry meat in it. So I would look at an 18 centimeter saucepan as probably the most versatile piece of equipment that I would own in the kitchen. The secondly would be a wok. So I also feel that, especially with the Indian context, but even internationally, like I remember when I was a student, I owned a wok. It has a large mouth, so you can use it with, you know, gravies. You can make a dal again in it. You can use it to do basic frying, stir frying. I've been able to put, you know, nice cuts of meat into it to cook it. So to me, these two, if I had to choose one of the two, I probably would choose the about a 10 inch or 26 centimeter wok as my favorite, followed by the saucepans.
Yeah, I mean, I love saucepans. I think, like you said, in college, I think the only thing I had was a saucepan. So this was really helpful. Now, the other thing that, you know, really was interesting, Dhruv, when we had our conversation last, was that the genesis of this or this company style, as well as the products, are really, really fascinating, right? Like a lot of thought has gone into the why of why you exist. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd love to. Style is actually a brand that was launched by a company about 8.5 years ago. But the story of style is a lot longer, or story of making cookware is a lot longer. So while I've come into the business about 9 years ago, my father started making cookware back in 1990. And we have actually supplied to some of the best companies in India and abroad. So we've had a long-standing tradition of making really, really good cookware. And 8 years ago, when I looked at joining the business, the same, I had this one saucepan which I used through college, and I'd studied in Germany, and my father had come there to visit me once, and he looked at my kitchen, and he took me to this one shop, and you know, we bought just one utensil, but I used that for the next, I think, 8 or 9 years. Every single place that I moved to, I used that. And when I joined the business, you know, we were manufacturing for others, but there was not a single company where in our country where I could go to and say that, you know what, this product is going to last for the next 8 or 9 years. So we set about making that. We said that cooking can be an extremely joyful event. It can be extremely relaxing. It's, some people call it a meditation. Some people call it an art. To some, it's a science. It's a lot of different things to everybody. But if your tools are not right, it's not going to work out. So we basically launched Dal and we launched good quality cookware, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure, to fundamentally enable great cooking experiences, backed by our legacy of making good pieces for people over the world.
I love that. But I mean, I'm conscious of not putting the entire burden of creating and maintaining excellent cookware on the producers of the cookware. So my next question, Dhruv, is going to be more about taking care of your kitchen essentials. Because I know that growing up, everybody was taught that you cannot take a, you know, scratchy little scrub near a nonstick pan, for example. Mm-hmm. But as grown-ups, no one talks to us about this stuff anymore. If you could perhaps teach us a few things that everyone should know about taking care of their utensils.
Okay, I won't shame anyone because I think I'm the worst at taking care of my cookware. So,
no. You know, why,
no, okay, so let me get into this. While you say that the burden should not lie with the maker, I think a lot of it does lie with the maker. For a person, taking care of your cookware starts with actually choosing what you use. I mean, if you go and buy a 200 rupee pan, which has really, really, really bad coating, it's not going to last even 10 sessions of cooking, and you cannot take care of it, period, no matter what you do. So to me, the onus of actually starting to take care of your cookware lies with getting good stuff. So the first thing is to actually choose what materials, try and buy materials that are natural, that will last longer. Steel or aluminium at its core are good. The other things that you really need to take care of with cookware is, so when it heats up, you don't suddenly cool it. You know, anything that heats up expands, anything that cools down is contracting. If you give it a thermal shock, so if you take it straight from the stove to the water, it is going to warp. It is not going to cool down evenly, and that is going to cause a lot of deflection. It's going to cause your cookware to change the way it looks. It's going to cause staining. Usually a good piece of cookware should not allow food to stick easily. So if your cookware has to be heavy, and this comes back to when you're selecting it, if you select something light, you select something cheap, your food is going to stick. That's when you then need a steel scrubber or a steel spatula or a lot of high power detergent that can also damage your cookware when you're cleaning it. So in a sense, use the right oil, use the right amount of heat so that you don't burn your food. It helps you really take care of your cookware. If you're looking at coated cookware, I mean, all of us want ease in our cooking. So if you're looking at coated cookware, I think one thing is to select the right kind of coating. So again, over here, you know, I equate coatings to paint. Paint is, you know, you have right from a distemper to a high grade exterior oil based paint that you could come up with. So if you choose a distemper, you know, every time you rub your nail against it, you're going to get color off the walls. The same is with coating. So choose good companies, choose companies that stand by the kind of coatings they make. They get them from reputed companies. It's also good for your health. We manufacture in a material called Triply, and this, we were unique when we launched this. There are many others now who also manufacture Triply cookware in India, but it is really, really, really easy to maintain because it's damn difficult to burn food on it. It goes into the dishwasher. You can rub it with a rough surface, you can rub it with a smooth surface. And the fact that it doesn't have a coating in most cases allows you to use it on any heat source without worrying about thermal shock and all these things. So in a nutshell, I mean, select good cookware. Don't use scratchy surfaces. I mean, that's something that everybody knows. Do not suddenly heat it. Do not suddenly cool it. Do not let it heat dry on a stove. That means that there should be at least some form of liquid, whether it's oil or water in it, because that can really, really damage your cookware and can be bad for your health. And fundamentally don't burn food on it and you should not have an issue.
Okay, so that was really, really interesting. Now, we have like one final question to you, Dhruv.
Sure.
Which is, can you tell us a little bit about Tribe Life and like what it is and how is it significantly different?
I'd love to. So Triply is basically three layers of metal sandwiched together. It's stainless steel 304. That's, I think, one of the most food grade or the most non-reactive kind of steel available in the world. Then the middle layer is aluminium. So there are a lot of talks that aluminium is not safe for you, etc. So what we've done is we've actually put it in the middle so it doesn't come in contact with the food, but you get the even heating technology behind it. And the outer layer is magnetic stainless steel. The reason for magnetic stainless steel is it allows you to work it on any kind of a heat source, whether it is induction, whether it is gas, whether it's in the oven, whether it's on halogen, whatever. The magnetic stainless steel on the outside allows you to use any kind of a heat source. So Triply merges these three forms of metals. It gets the best from all three. So the inside SS304 allows you for an absolutely non-reactive cooking experience. It allows you to use less oil. It allows you to use all kinds of different spatulas, etc. on it. The aluminium, by conducting heat well, ensures that the food does not burn. And the metal outside ensures the durability of the product. So, like, for example, when we make a Triply product, we say that nothing can go wrong with it for the next 20 years. Apart from this, there's also been, recently people have been speaking about there should be no nickel in your stainless steel, etc. A lot of these are marketing ploys. So the inner layer of Triply is SS304. It's also commonly known as surgical steel. It's what doctors use to cut your body open with. It's used in implants inside the body. So the benefit of Triply with SS304 is that it is actually the most non-reactive cooking surface that you can use. And you'll have it in different thicknesses, which allow for, good distribution, longevity. It's very easy to maintain, so on and so forth.
Thank you so much for this information. I think one of the things that I found really interesting was that whole concept of like marketing, creating like gimmicks on the use of metals. Like, it's so funny that nickel is supposed to be harmful, where like most coins are made with nickels. And I'm also really excited to just note that, Triply products, like Dhruv had said, are available with Stahl. They are part of their entire library of products. As mentioned, a lot of these products are something that are kind of exclusive in its own way, in terms of like the way that it's constructed and thought out and all of those things. So thank you so much, Dhruv, for telling us all these wonderful things.
Pleasure is mine.
Thanks a ton. You've actually, Dhruv, taught us a lot of things that we really didn't know. And I won't joke, we wouldn't have figured them out on our own. Archit here is a serial Googler. He likes to Google everything, look for facts and whatnot. And I know that when it comes to finding information, it's very easy to find it, but actually crystallizing it and understanding an expert point of view is what you've been able to help here with. So we really appreciate it, and thank you for making time. I know that this is not something that you typically do, so we really, really appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate the time that you both have spent with us. We spend a lot of time designing and thinking about small nuances, and it's always a pleasure to be able to speak about why we do things rather than what it is that we do. I really hope this speaks to a few people, and always hit us up with more questions whenever you want.
We will, absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us, Dhruv.
Thank you.
Ooh, that was a lot of information to process, but I'm so glad we had Dhruv on the show, because I knew pretty much nothing about anything except, well, knives and wine openers, which says a lot about how I am as a person and who I am as a person. But I'm glad we did this. And, thank you guys for sending your questions in. It has been so helpful in terms of content planning, because like this is something that we would not have thought to do. But it's because we got so many questions and so many DMs saying like, oh, I'm just starting out, or oh, I'm moving, yada, 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 or I'm in uni, for example. And we thought that might as well bring an expert. So forgive us for not giving you too much vishesh tippani of our own, but we really hope you enjoyed listening to Dhruv's advice. And I think some of it was excellent. One thing he did miss out was that today, just like in the old days, but in a bit nicer way, you can actually get your utensils engraved. So, I mean, at least my grandparents had their steel ke bartan.
Yeah, mine too. With
their initials. And I was just like, dude, you guys have such insecurities. Like, nobody's going to come and steal your plates. But, I mean, whatever. I think the purpose was different. But now you can be your own Gabrielle. And you can, and that's an Emily in Paris reference, just by the way, in case you're just wondering what
I did not understand that. Yeah, thank you for that.
And you can, if you're buying yourself a present and if you're treating yourself to something fancy, you can always get it engraved with your name. Or if you're gifting it and you want to make sure that the person does not re-gift it, you can engrave it with their name. So, that's
a good
idea.
So smart. That is so smart.
I know.
Love it. Alright, thank you for tuning in today. You can of course follow all of the banter as well as all of the podcast stories at the rate Archit Lost on Instagram. And you should definitely follow Stahl at Stahl_India on Instagram as well. See you soon.
Bye.
This episode of Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin is written and conceptualized by Shirin Rai Gupta and Archit Agarwal. It's produced and edited by Natasha Rati Kapoor.